Section 4. Building the Team. This section provides a host of exercises, schedules, definitions, and references so that you can create a team-building process that best suits your organization. Team-Building Roadmap. This segment provides a framework for a comprehensive team-building process over a 6-month period. Some teams may want to use a more aggressive timeline, while others may take a slower approach. In any case, the following is a general outline of the steps any team should be prepared to take. Warning: there is one big point I want to make here, and it is critical. Don't do everything exactly the way it is described here. The purpose of this field guide, and this section in particular, is to give you as much framework and structure as you need to make your team better, not to prescribe or dictate a detailed agenda. I've provided detail not to limit your freedom of judgment, but to give you as much information as you might need to fully understand how these ideas can be implemented. However, as in all important undertakings, judgment and flexibility are key. Timeline. Week 1. Preliminary work for the initial offsite. Before the initial offsite takes place, team members will have to spend approximately 1 hour completing 2 assessments. 5 Dysfunctions Team Assessment, which can also be found in the print copy of this book, or a more comprehensive online version, available at www.tablegroup.com. There is a charge for the online version. However, it provides much richer analysis of team strengths and weaknesses. Behavioral Profile Assessment, such as Myers-Briggs. We strongly recommend that teams do these assessments ahead of time to ensure that the time spent during the offsite is as focused and productive as possible. And because the advance work is extremely quick, even enjoyable, there is usually little, if any, resistance. Week 2. Initial offsite. This is the 1.5 to 2-day session that is the anchor of your team-building effort and the formal kickoff of your new approach to teamwork. It will include a review of your team's assessment, as well as various exercises around trust, conflict, commitment, accountability, and results. A comprehensive description of the initial offsite is provided in the next segment. Offsite follow-up. Immediately after the offsite ends, it is critical to distribute important notes to team members as a confirmation of the commitments they made, and for their ongoing reference and use during the months to follow. Week 3. First Review Session. To maintain the momentum coming out of the initial off-site and avoid the lull that can sometimes occur, it is critical that teams meet and review the commitments they made the prior week. They should take a few minutes to review their behavioral and team profiles and tie up any loose ends that were left. Weeks 4 to 12. Ongoing reference and discussion. During the weeks that follow the offsite and review session, team members should be referencing and discussing all relevant aspects of their team development process as they arise in the course of normal business activity. These will probably involve, but are not limited to, the team assessment, behavioral profiling, conflict profiles and norms, goal commitments, and team effectiveness development areas, as well as the team scoreboard. Keep in mind that a real team should be spending considerable time together in meetings and working sessions. In fact, it's not uncommon that as much as 20% of each team member's time is spent working through issues and solving problems with the team as a whole. Week 13. Quarterly off-site review. This is a 1 or 2-day session during which team members review many of the assessments and profiles from the initial off-site and more important, assess progress made by individuals and the team as a whole. Common activities would include a discussion of the level of productive conflict on the team, as well as a second pass at the team effectiveness exercise. The first quarterly off-site review is a good opportunity to review progress made against the team's goals as well, as these are the best indication of real progress. Weeks 14 to 25. Ongoing reference and discussion. During the next 12 weeks, team members should again be referencing and discussing relevant aspects of their team development process as they arise in the course of normal business activity. However, team members should now be more comfortable than before in holding one another accountable for any deviations from team norms and personal commitments. Week 26. Final off-site review. This is the last off-site within the context of the initial team-building effort, but certainly should not be the last such meeting for the team. During this session, team members should step back and assess progress made over the course of the past 6 months. This should include the reevaluation of the team using the same team assessment that was completed during week one. New areas for improvement should be identified, and action plans for the future should be put in place. Week 27 and beyond. Like a marriage, a team is never completely finished developing itself. And so the team should be constantly addressing areas of deficiency, and it should be periodically stepping back to assess progress. And again, members of real teams spend considerable time working together. The initial off-site. Another warning. The agenda that follows is not meant to prescribe or dictate how you build your team. It is simply a structure my colleagues and I have found to be useful with many of our clients. But keep in mind that every situation is a little different and requires a measure of judgment, even art, on the part of the facilitator and leader. So don't be afraid to deviate from this agenda, or from anything else in this guide for that matter, to best serve the needs of your team and your unique situation. Overview and assessment, 1 or 2 hours. Overview of the 5 dysfunctions, around half an hour. Begin the off-site by providing the team with a clear and complete overview of the model. It is critical that everyone understands and embraces it. You can do this by presenting the model yourself and providing your own stories, or by showing the table group's video on the 5 dysfunctions of a team. In either case, it is certainly helpful if team members have read the 5 dysfunctions of a team ahead of time. Review of team assessment report results, about 1 hour. If the team completed the team assessment before the session, walk them through the results. If they have not, you can have them complete the short-form paper-based assessment available in the print version of this guide. Once the team has reviewed, but certainly not resolved, the issues highlighted by the team report, you are ready to move on to the first part of team building, building trust. Building trust, 2 to 4 hours. Personal histories exercise, around 15 minutes. The first step in building trust is helping people get comfortable being vulnerable with one another. Behavioral profile exercise, around 2 to 4 hours. The next step in ensuring vulnerability-based trust is giving team members a tool for understanding themselves and one another in a deeper way. Behavioral profiling tools, such as the Myers-Briggs, make it easier for people to reveal their own strengths and weaknesses. Consider revisiting the findings from the team assessment report that you reviewed at the beginning of the offsite. Often a team's collective profile provides insights into why a team may or may not struggle with a particular dysfunction. Trust review. During a two-day offsite, the team should begin day two by taking time to review team members' individual insights around their profiles and potential areas for improvement. See Step 7 within Behavioral Profiling in the Tools and Exercises segment coming up. Mastering Conflict, 1 or 2 hours. Conflict Profiling, around 30 to 60 minutes. The next step in building your team is learning to engage in productive conflict around issues. To make this possible, it is important for the team to understand its collective and individual preferences for dealing with conflict. Your team may want to use other models, such as the Thomas Kilman instrument and the depth frequency model, to better assess its conflict profile. Conflict norming. Around 30 minutes. Once the team has determined its profile, it can then establish a set of norms around how the members will engage one another in conflict. Conflict resolution obstacles, around 30 to 60 minutes. Even teams with clear norms around conflict can often struggle to resolve issues that they are debating because they encounter distractions unrelated to the issue being discussed. The conflict resolution model can help them understand these distractions and eliminate them during conflict. Achieving commitment, 2 to 6 hours. Clarification of team and organizational principles. This is the part of the offsite where the team begins diving into business-related topics. Using the conflict norms and trust-related insights from the previous exercises, it is now time to clarify and commit to a variety of operational and behavioral principles, which may include core purpose, values, strategy, goals, roles, and team expectations around behavior. Topics will vary depending on the nature of the team and its role in the organization. For example, executive leadership team, line management team, employee task force. All teams will want to clarify their thematic goals and supporting categorical objectives. Embracing accountability, 1 or 2 hours. Team effectiveness exercise. To create a culture of accountability, team members must learn to provide one another with direct feedback, both positive and constructive, around their behavior and performance. Focusing on results, 1 hour. Establishment of a team scoreboard. The team should create a means for quickly and effectively gauging its ongoing success against its goals. Offsite wrap-up and follow-up. Commitment clarification. To ensure alignment and clarity coming out of the offsite, the team must review what it has agreed upon and resulting actions that must be taken. Cascading communication. To ensure consistent messaging, the team must be clear about when members are to communicate results of the offsite to their teams or others within the organization. Initial off-site follow-up. To ensure that momentum coming out of the off-site is not lost, it is important for team members to take specific steps to review, communicate, and follow up on the actions discussed and the commitments made. Tools and exercises in detail. This is the segment where we provide step-by-step instructions for using the tools and exercises mentioned in the earlier parts of the book. Preliminary work. Review of the online team assessment. Purpose of exercise: to help the team identify its current strengths and weaknesses and prepare them for the rest of the offsite. Time required: 1 or 2 hours. Instructions. This example assumes the team took the online version of the assessment and received their final team report, and thus has all the analysis that is included in it. Here is how to take them through the report. 1. Review the overall team profile and scores. 2. Ask the team to individually review the next three sections: strengths, areas for improvement, and areas of key difference, and look for particularly interesting highlights. 3. Have different team members read aloud the list of team strengths, areas for improvement, and areas of key differences. 4. Ask the group for their insight as to why the team scored the way it did on all three areas. You may also want to break the team up into smaller subgroups of 3 or 4 people and have them discuss why certain questions scored particularly high or low. 5. Record their responses on flip charts for reference during the remainder of this session. 6. Clarify any misunderstandings or confusion that may arise around any particular question that has been highlighted. Preliminary work. Review of the short form team assessment. Purpose of exercise: to help the team identify its predisposition to certain dysfunctions and prepare them for the rest of the offsite. Time required: 30 to 60 minutes. Instructions: this example assumes the team will fill out the assessment on the spot. 1. Hand out copies of the team assessment and give the team members time to complete it. 2. Ask team members to share their individual responses. 3. Average the team members' responses to determine the overall score for each dysfunction. 4. Ask the group for their insight as to why the team scored the way it did. You may also want to break the team up into smaller subgroups of 3 or 4 people and have them discuss why certain questions scored particularly high or low. 5. Record their responses on flip charts for reference during the remainder of this session. 6. Clarify any misunderstandings or confusion that may arise around any particular question that has been highlighted. Building trust. Personal histories exercise. Purpose of exercise: to improve trust by giving team members an opportunity to demonstrate vulnerability in a low-risk way, and to help team members understand one another at a fundamental level so that they can avoid making false attributions about behaviors and intentions. Time required: 15 to 25 minutes, depending on the size of the team. Instructions. 1. Go around the table and have everyone answer 3 questions about themselves so they tell the group where they grew up, how many siblings they have, and where they fall in the sibling order, oldest, youngest, or whatever. What was the most difficult or important challenge of their childhood? Note: other questions could be used here as long as they elicit responses calling for moderate vulnerability. For instance, "What is your favorite food?" would be bad, because in addition to being ridiculous, it would involve virtually no vulnerability. Conversely, "How do you feel about your mother?" would be bad, because it would be unnecessarily personal and invasive. 2. Ask team members what they learned about one another that they didn't know. This reinforces the purpose of the exercise and allows for a natural ending to the conversation. Building trust. Behavioral profiling. Purpose of exercise: to improve trust by giving team members an opportunity to demonstrate vulnerability in an objective, in-depth way and to help team members understand one another's strengths and weaknesses so that they can avoid making false attributions about behaviors and intentions. Time required, 2 to 4 hours, depending on the size of the team, the skills of the certified facilitator, and the team member's level of knowledge of the profiling tool. Instructions. The following instructions are written with the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, MBTI, in mind. However, the basic flow can be adapted for other tools. 1. Have all team members complete an MBTI diagnostic questionnaire at least a few days before the session begins, leaving enough time for the scores to be tabulated. 2. At the beginning of the session, present an overview of the Myers-Briggs model and the related temperament model, giving team members an opportunity to ask questions as well as to do some qualitative assessments of their types. 3. Present team members with their MBTI scores and help them to identify their own true type by reviewing multiple sources of data, such as indicator results, qualitative assessments, and other reading material. 4. Once all types have been identified, have team members each read a short description of their own type out loud to the rest of the team. In those instances where more than one person has the same type, have each member with that type reread the description, giving other team members an opportunity to hear the description in the context of that particular person. It's often better to stagger the reading of similar types rather than have them read in succession to avoid confusion and repetition. 5. List all types on a whiteboard and discuss with the team how the collective type of the team manifests itself. Discuss any areas where there is great consistency among the team. When there is consistency across multiple areas, identify the team type, read the one-page description of that type, and discuss its ramifications. 6. Identify potential team weaknesses or blind spots that the group must avoid as a result of its particular inclinations. Acknowledge strengths. 7. After the exercise has been completed, have team members read a more comprehensive description of their own type, highlighting sections that they find particularly insightful and descriptive of their tendencies. Also, have them choose one or two areas that they would like to improve about themselves based on their Myers-Briggs type. Have all team members report these findings to the group, preferably on day 2 of an initial offsite. 8. Within a week of completing this exercise, have team members go back to the teams they lead and discuss their MBTI profiles. This provides an opportunity for them to demonstrate vulnerability with their staff members and to give them a better understanding of their probable strengths and weaknesses as a manager. Mastering Conflict. Conflict Profiling. Purpose of exercise: to identify individual and collective conflict tendencies. Time required, 30 to 60 minutes. Instructions. 1. Have team members review their behavioral profile from the trust exercise, highlighting implications specific to conflict. 2. Have the team members each share those implications along with other conflict influences in their lives, including family and life experiences, as well as cultural background. 3. Discuss the similarities and differences of the team in terms of the collective outlook on conflict, as well as the potential implications. Mastering Conflict. Conflict Norming. Purpose of exercise: to provide clarity to team members about how they expect one another to engage in discussion and debate. Time required, 30 minutes. Instructions. 1. Have all team members write down their individual preferences relating to acceptable and unacceptable behaviors around discussion and debate. Areas might include use of language, tone of voice, emotional content, expectations of involvement and participation, avoidance of distractions, or timeliness of response. 2. Have the members each review their preferences with the rest of the team, while someone captures key areas of similarity and difference. 3. Discuss collective preferences, paying special attention to areas of difference. Arrive at a common understanding of acceptable and unacceptable behavior that all members of the team can commit to. The leader may have to play a key role in breaking a tie. 4. Formally record and distribute behavioral expectations around conflict. Mastering Conflict. Conflict Resolution Model. Purpose of Model. To help teams identify and remove extraneous obstacles that prevent them from focusing on the real issue that needs to be resolved. Overview. The model depicted here demonstrates the different layers of obstacles that prevent teams from discussing and resolving issues. Essentially, the goal is to get to the middle of the chart, where the issue itself becomes the focus of the conversation. To get there, teams often have to acknowledge and address other topics, many of which are unrelated to the issue at hand, but still create distractions and barriers. The model, then, is 4 concentric circles around a bullseye, each representing a different kind of obstacle, and the real issue being discussed is in the center. 4 different kinds of obstacles can prevent issues from being resolved. Informational. These obstacles are the easiest and most comfortable to discuss because they are actually related to the issue being discussed. To engage in the kind of conflict that achieves resolution, teams must exchange information, facts, opinions, and perspectives. This is what most teams believe they are doing, even when one of the other types of obstacles get in the way. Environmental. These are obstacles that have nothing to do with the issue being discussed, but instead involve the atmosphere in which the discussion is taking place. These might include the physical space. For instance, an important conversation might be taking place in a hallway, in an airport, or in a conference room that's too small for the number of people attending. Or the environmental obstacle may involve a shortage of time. A team might be trying to make a key decision under a tight deadline and without enough time to fully explore options. If someone on the team is in a bad mood, that alone can constitute an environmental obstacle because it introduces potentially distracting and misinterpreted behavior into the conversation. And certainly, office politics and overriding cultural realities within an organization can constitute environmental obstacles. A pending layoff or a war between 2 divisions within a company will have a profound impact on a discussion, even if the people engaged in the discussion are not directly affected by it. Relationship. These obstacles have to do with problems or issues between the very people involved in the discussion or conflict. For instance, there may have been an unresolved legacy event between them in the past, or such a stark difference in their styles that 2 or more people find it impossible to focus on the issue at hand. Or one of the people involved may have a reputation, warranted or otherwise, that negatively impacts the attitude and approach of other team members. Finally, a person's position in an organization or home department can color the attitudes of team members. For instance, people may be reluctant or hesitant to dive headlong into an issue with an executive two rungs above them on the organizational ladder. Or team members may approach one another with bias and suspicion simply because they represent departments that have traditionally been at odds, for example, participating in the common sales versus marketing feud. Individual. These are obstacles that exist because one particular person involved in the discussion has a deficiency or quality that inhibits a clean conversation. Individual obstacles can involve insufficient experience, IQ, knowledge, self-esteem, or emotional intelligence, EQ. Or they could involve a set of values or motives that differ substantially from those of the rest of the group. The key to using this model is to be aware of the possible existence of obstacles during discussions and to refer to it whenever a conversation gets bogged down. Once a given obstacle is identified, a team can then either address it or, more likely, acknowledge its existence and agree not to let it color the nature of the conversation. Obstacles on the outside of the circle are more difficult to address than those toward the middle because they involve personalities and related issues that are not changed as easily as the privacy level in a conference room or the time allotted to making a decision. Of course, the key to addressing these more challenging obstacles is trust, because the effort involves some level of personal risk. Mastering Conflict, Conflict Resolution Exercise. Purpose of exercise: to teach team members how to apply the conflict resolution model. Time required: 30 to 60 minutes. Instructions. 1. As a team, choose an issue that the team has wrestled with recently, one that was or continues to be particularly difficult to resolve. The more difficult and complicated the issue, the better. 2. Have each member review prior discussions of the issue and analyze them according to the conflict resolution model described before. Looking for as many as possible of the different obstacles that were present during discussions. Compare each team member's answers, discussing the impact that various obstacles had on the decision-making process. 4. Discuss how to address these obstacles in the future, or immediately if the example issue remains unresolved, to improve the way the team engages in conflict and makes decisions. Mastering Conflict. Depth and Frequency Conflict Model. Purpose of exercise: to help teams assess their conflict tendencies and identify areas for improvement. Time required: 30 minutes. The Depth and Frequency Conflict Model is a simple graph. On the vertical axis is depth, from low at the bottom to high at the top. On the horizontal axis is frequency, from low on the left to high on the right. If you divide the resulting field into quadrants, you have four types of conflict. The lower left quadrant contains rare and shallow conflict. The upper left quadrant contains rare but substantive conflict. On the right bottom will be frequent but shallow conflict, and the right top contains frequent and substantive conflict. Instructions. 1. Review model with team. 2. Have the members each recreate the model on a blank sheet of paper, writing their name at the top. 3. Have them pass their sheet to the person on their left, who then places an X on the chart in the location that best indicates their perception of how the person listed at the top engages in conflict, and passes the sheet along to the next member, and so on around the room. 4. When all sheets have been returned to their original owners, have team members review their own charts and indicate to the team their style according to the aggregate input of their team members. 5. Plot all team members' results on a model drawn large enough to fill a flip chart. 6. Have team members discuss the collective implications of their results, with special attention to areas of clear similarity and difference. Mastering Conflict, Thomas Kilman Model. Purpose of model: to help teams identify and understand their conflict tendencies and profile. Description: the Thomas Kilman model describes 5 different approaches to conflict according to how people think about the importance of a task versus the importance of their relationship with people they are working with. The main point of the model is to encourage people to be purposeful in how they confront and collaborate with others, rather than relying on their natural and often inappropriate tendencies. For more information about this model, go to www.cpp.com. Achieving Commitment. Commitment Clarification. Purpose of exercise: to ensure that teams leave meetings with no ambiguity about what they've agreed upon. Time required, 5 minutes. Instructions. 1. Toward the end of a meeting, the leader or facilitator should go to the whiteboard and ask the team, "What have we agreed upon today?" 2. Team members then provide their individual responses. 3. If there is no consensus, the leader then provokes further discussion to eliminate any discrepancies and clarify commitments and agreements. 4. The leader then records all commitments on the board and has all team members record them as well. Achieving Commitment, Cascading Communication. Purpose of exercise: to ensure that team members fully commit to agreements made during meetings and to achieve alignment in the greater organization. Time required, 5 minutes. Instructions. 1. After the commitment clarification exercise has been completed, the team then decides which of the commitments and agreements should be communicated to the rest of the organization. 2. Then team members go back to the teams they lead within a given time frame, 24 to 48 hours usually, and communicate those commitments and agreements. Note that it is critical for cascading communication to occur either in person or live on the phone, that is, not via email or voicemail, so that employees can ask questions for clarification and so that they get a clear sense of their manager's level of commitment. Achieving Commitment, Clarification of Team Principles. Purpose of exercise: to create clarity within the team around how members will deal with one another on an ongoing basis. Time required, 1 or 2 hours. Instructions. Have the team discuss and come to resolution around the following issues and any others that the team deems important. The structure and schedule for meetings. Acceptable behavior during meetings, for example, laptop use. The preferred methods for communication, for example, email, voicemail, and so on, and the norms around how to use them. The timeliness of responding to one another using those methods. The use of common resources, human and otherwise. The availability of team members during non-work hours. The level of freedom in which team members can engage one another's staffs. The extent to which being on time is a priority. Achieving Commitment, Clarification of Organizational Principles. purpose of exercise? To create clarity within the team and the rest of the organization around a variety of fundamental issues. Time required, 2 to 5 hours. Instructions. Have the team discuss and come to resolution around some or all of the following, depending on the nature of the team and its place in the organization. Core purpose. Core values. Business definition. Strategy. Goals. Roles and responsibilities. See the book The Four Obsessions of an Extraordinary Executive for more details. Achieving commitment. Establishment of thematic goal. Purpose of exercise. To provide the team with a common sense of purpose so that it can achieve greater alignment and avoid the emergence of silos. Time required, 30 to 60 minutes. Instructions. Discuss and agree upon the thematic goal by answering the following question. What is the single most important goal that we must achieve during this period if we are to consider ourselves successful during that time? The goal should not be quantitative, but rather a general achievement. Examples of common thematic goals include the following: improve customer satisfaction, get expenses under control, increase market awareness, launch a new product, strengthen the team, rebuild the infrastructure, grow market share. The challenge of deprioritization. One of the challenges teams often face when choosing a thematic goal is best described in the questions they ask. But don't we always want to be growing market share? And don't we always want to keep expenses under control? Essentially, they're wondering if, by choosing one particular thematic goal, they're being allowed to completely ignore other areas. Of course, the answer is no. Even when the team is focused on growing market share, it will have to keep an eye on expenses. And even when the goal is to launch a new product or establish its brand, it will have to make its numbers in terms of revenue. However, the point of having a thematic goal is to ensure that the entire team places extra emphasis on a single area of priority, so that when push comes to shove, everyone understands what matters most. This helps team members avoid pulling in different directions, which leads to paralysis, frustration, and a collective silo mentality. The specialist's dilemma. Another challenge for teams trying to choose and rally around the thematic goal is this type of objection. Hey, I'm the chief legal counsel. What do I have to do with growing market share? Or even, as the head of sales, I cannot afford to take my eye off of revenue. I don't think I should be involved in getting expenses under control. The key to overcoming this is getting everyone to understand that they must wear two different hats when they are together as a team. One of those hats, and the most important one, is that of generic team member. For executives, it is their generic executive hat. This means that they are not a functional executive, the head of a particular department, and they are not a specialist, someone who is valued because of their technical skills. They are team members who are expected to contribute to the team in any way they can. That means the head lawyer should be contributing to conversations about marketing, and that the head of engineering should be actively involved in decisions about sales. Now, there are times when team members must put their functional hats back on so they can focus on what they must go back and accomplish within their departments. The divisions of labor that exist in any organization exist for a reason and must be honored. However, when team members are together, most of their focus and mindset should be centered around collective team issues, not their own department or functional area. Determining the length of the period. The time frame of the period for a thematic goal will depend on the nature of the business and industry, as well as the particular situation of the organization and team. For instance, the executive team of a startup company will probably want to have relatively short time frames, say 2 or 3 months, while a university might have longer cycles, for example, a year. Embracing accountability. Team effectiveness exercise. Purpose of exercise: to give team members a forum for providing one another with focused, direct, and actionable feedback about how their individual behavior can improve the performance of the team. Time required: 1 or 2 hours, depending on the size of the team and the skill of the facilitator. Instructions. 1. Have all team members answer the following questions about each member of the team other than themselves. What is that person's single most important behavioral quality that contributes to the strength of the team? That is, their strength. What is that person's single most important behavioral quality that detracts from the strength of the team? That is, their weakness or problematic behavior. Note, team members should write down their answers so that they can commit to and remember their responses and are not tempted to change them based on what others have said. 2. Beginning with comments about the leader of the team, have all team members read their positive responses one by one until everyone has finished. 3. Ask the leader to respond to what people have said. For example, any surprises, any questions for clarification. 4. Continuing to focus on the leader, have all team members read their negative responses one by one until everyone has finished. 5. Continue with this sequence for every member of the team. 6. When all team members have received input from their peers, have them each summarize aloud for the team the 1 or 2 key takeaways that they will work on individually. Have them email those takeaways to the leader. 7. At the next team offsite, have the members each report on the progress they've made in regard to each of their areas for improvement. Solicit input from team members about their observations. Focusing on results. Establishment of team scoreboard. Purpose of tool: to provide the team with a clear and useful means of quickly assessing its success so that it can organize meetings and discussions around relevant topics. Time required: 1 or 2 hours. Instructions. After identifying the thematic goal, have the team discuss and agree upon the handful of supporting objectives that must be accomplished if the thematic goal is to be achieved. For instance, if the thematic goal is to focus on aggressively increasing revenue in a given period, the supporting objectives might include the following: increase marketing support, reestablish pricing and discounts, increase executive involvement in sales, expand sales efforts into new territories, hire more salespeople. Or, if the thematic goal is to increase market awareness, the supporting objectives might be to increase advertising, clarify the brand and value proposition, increase trade show activities, and improve public relations. All of this will depend on the unique situation of each team, as well as what is going on in the organization and the industry as a whole. In addition to these supporting objectives, a team's scoreboard should include a few standard operational objectives, such as revenue, expenses, employee turnover, or whatever essential metric is key to the business on an ongoing basis. Follow-up. Initial off-site follow-up. Purpose of exercise: to ensure that progress and decisions made during the off-site are clarified, committed to, and communicated to others outside the team. Time required, 1 or 2 hours over the course of a week. Instructions. Immediately following the offsite, it is important for team members to follow up on particular actions to ensure the process continues to move forward. The following should happen after the meeting. 1. Team facilitator or team leader should consolidate the notes from the meeting and distribute them to the team. This should include things like the team's personality profiles, comments from the assessment discussion, a team conflict profile, any goals and decisions that were made, and so on. 2. Individual team members should summarize their personality profiles into 3 bullet points or less, things that it would be helpful for the team to keep in mind. 3. Team members need to summarize the feedback from the team effectiveness exercise. 4. Team members should send their summaries to the facilitator for consolidation and distribution to the team.